Hello, Jean-Luc. How are you?
Hello, Debbie. I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am thrilled to speak with you. I didn't know what to expect with Xero when I first got the email about it, but I thought a film with a time bomb strapped around somebody? I'm in. I'm in. Yeah. And then I start watching it, and immediately, with the first frames of the film, after we have the black and we hear that unmistakable, lilting voice of Willem Dafoe, counting things down and giving us this great setup that really it's intriguing and it makes you want to see what he's talking about. And then we go to the live action. You blew me away with the vibrancy, the color, the energy, the life that we see in front of us in Senegal versus this poor guy totally disoriented and discombobulated and scared to death when he realizes he got a bomb strapped to him. So you set up this great contrast right at the beginning, a wonderful dichotomy between life and death. Does death bring life? Does life bring death? Is this the circle of life? Really wonderful. Jean-Luc, this is wonderful, thought-provoking stuff to start the film with, and you carry that through. Yeah, we've got great action in here, but everything that unfolds, it's a
Thank you.
cause and effect, almost like with the point of reincarnation or rejuvenation. Can we reincarnate ourselves into something else? This is,
Thank you.
you have made a very philosophical, thought-provoking, and profound film that just happens to be an action film.
Exactly, that's the cream on the cake.
Yeah. Where did you get the idea? How did this film come to you? And once you had a story in place, how did you visualize translating that into visuals on screen?
One of them that I shot a short movie with like 10 years ago. It's Cameron Lacard, so it's the second guy. He came to me and said, "Hey, we want to make a movie. We have some money, not a lot of money, but we want to do a movie. Do you have a script?" And I was like, "Well, I don't have anything, but what I can tell you is right now I'm shooting in Senegal, so I was shooting Saloum, which is the movie just before that." And I said to them, "There's something happening here in West Africa, and you should come see." And they were curious enough to take a leap of faith and come in Senegal, and they understood what I was talking about. And I was like, "Guys, in terms of production, in terms of exactly what you said, color, vibrancy, and all that, there's a lot of things that we can't replicate in US right now with the budget that we have. We can't replicate that in Europe also. We can do that in Africa." And then I wrote the first script. We sat on that script for a moment, and then we were like, "Ah, probably not this one yet." It was a bit bigger. And being smaller, I talked to the producer. I knew exactly what would make him react. And I said, "Well, simple idea: two Americans waking up in Dakar with bomb straps on their chest and a 10-hour chronometer." And he went, and a bit like you, when we started the call, he was like, "I'm in." And
Yeah.
then I was like, "Okay, that's the cream, but this is just the concept stuff. I need you to hear me on the emotional stuff." And then what I said to him was, "Okay, if you have 5 seconds left to talk to say something to the daughter that you never met or to the son that you never met, what would you say?" And he was like, "Oh shit." And I was like, "Exactly. That's the emotional stuff." And once we got that, then I went on my side to write the script, and then came the entire philosophy about zero. What's the zero? What does it mean? What does it, and if it becomes a philosophical concept, what does it mean for the characters? And everything that you just said at the beginning of the call, that's exactly that, or that's part of surreal guy because, and that was before, when I wrote this movie, that was before AI, right? So I anticipate a bit the fact that you can scramble your voice and do whatever the F you want with it. So in my head, it was like, it can be a woman somewhere, it can be a kid somewhere, it can be anybody in the world fucking with them. And I need the audience to believe that. And then the feeling is, it's a god in the sky playing with those guys to reset the balance to zero, right? And then came the entire game of cats and mouse about what do I do with those guys, with those two guys, right? And if you watch carefully, well, those two guys are the two faces of domination, which is usually when a country goes to dominate another country, what do they use? Well, they use the economical force, or they do use the military force, right? So those two guys are representing, one is representing violence and one is representing money, and that's Youth and Cam, and that's the two actors, and that's one and two, right? So in order to create chaos, you have to go from zero to one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, whatever, right? So our two guys starting the chaos are our two characters, you know? So zero is a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a nightmare for marketing people because they always ask me, like, hey, is it an action movie? Is it a political thriller? Is it a comedy? And I'm like, it's whatever they want to be. You know, like, I'm just giving you what I think is a good story with good characters with emotions. After that, everything around it is what you want it to be. But if I do my work great, like a good book, there's a lot of layers to play with. And that's what zero is. And I'm very happy, and thank you for saying that at the beginning of our conversation. There's a lot of layers, and there's a lot of philosophical slash spiritual things in that, you know?
Really are. And especially as you get into the third act, the spirituality really takes hold when Gary Dordain's character shows up, Daniel.
Exactly.
Then you're holding your breath, and it's like, oh my God. God, how could anybody do this? Why would anybody do this?
Yeah.
And it grabs you and it makes you stop and think yet again. At every turn, you have something that makes us stop. As we're having fun watching them with the little black box and who you're passing it to, but then there's terror that goes with that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God!
The movie, you know, as a writer, it was an interesting challenge of saying, "Hey, I'm selling a movie where it's about giving five missions to guys, and it's gonna get crazier and crazier, right?" So when people watch the movie, they're like, "Oh, what's the next crazy stuff?" But guess what? The next thing will not. So talking about Gary in the third act, I'm not going to give you what you want me to give you, which is the craziest thing. I'm just going to give you a simple guy, very good looking, very charming, and you're like, what's happening now? Like, they're not into action anymore. It's about a guy getting married, and they're he sent them to take a ram. What the fuck is happening, right?
Yep.
So all that was done to slowly quit the action movie to go into the philosophical idea of, okay, if we want to reset everything to zero, what are we able to sacrifice? You know? So it's all a game of, it's all a mind game at the end, and especially for the audience. So this is why usually when people say to me it's an action movie, I'm like, yup. Starts like an action movie, but it is an action movie.
There's so much more than just being an action movie. But you really set the tone of it being more with those opening scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know,
which is also the ending scene.
Absolutely. And the fact the first visuals that we get are that colorful energy and vibrancy and the feeling of life. And then this poor schlub who wakes up and he's dirty and he's filthy and he's got a bomb strapped to him. That's the total opposite. A bomb strapped to you is the total opposite of joy and vibrancy and color and life.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know the feeling was, I loved it because when you see him running in the streets and in the narrow streets and all that, the idea was everything around him is live. If
yes.
You watch carefully, he's running and all that, but if you watch in the background, people are playing football.
Yep.
There's a woman taking care of her kids and stuff like that. And the idea was he's living his own thing, like the Western countries are living their own thing, not seeing that everybody else around are just living.
Yeah.
You know? And that, there was that idea of exactly what you said, and thank you for saying that. There's always that idea in Zero of life and death. There's death in front of you, but just in the background, there's life.
Yeah.
Happening.
And so, the background, I found myself, after getting the gist, as we meet man one and see him running around wearing a heavy coat, fur coat. What the heck are you doing in a heavy fur coat in Senegal where it's probably 100 degrees?
Exactly.
So that adds some humor to it. You give us some great humor as well. Yeah, because
we need to, especially when you have subjects like that.
Humor is part of life, and quite often humor is how you cope with death.
Exactly. That was the idea.
So,
you know why? Because I grew up in Congo, Brazil. I survived a civil war when I was 17, 16 there for a year. And what surprised me at that moment was, because every time that you think about war and all that, you think about, of course, death and misery and all this. But if there is an interesting thing about war, but the interesting thing about a place in war is that people start living, and they really start like living like they never lived before, because
yeah.
they know they can die at every moment, you know. And there was that idea of, it's not because it's an action movie and that we're talking about death that it has to be painful, and especially and I don't want to spoil the movie, but especially because this movie, at the end of the day, it's about two characters. If I talk about the philosophical themes that we're talking about, and if I talk about the spirituality about it, it's about two guys who are going to be elevated. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you watch carefully the movie, and I don't want to spoil the end.
Yeah, we don't want to give away any spoilers, you and I.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
We know what they are, but.
Yeah, exactly, right? But you can see the ending as there's a different meaning to the ending. You know, I can tell you. Well, they had what they came for.
Yeah.
You know, there was one guy who came for his daughter. Well, he had his answer. There was one guy who came to become free. He had his answer.
Yep.
Right. So that's also the fucked up conclusion about it. And there's also the voice out there who is supposed to be the bad guy, but guess what? Maybe he won't.
Maybe he's not.
No.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And some.
So, and the fact of having that last scene where, you know, I won't spoil it, but it brings you to another level, which is, oh, we were in Senegal with, because a lot of people that I was talking in the audience, for example, with, they were like, is it an anti-American movie? And I was like, no, it's not.
No.
It's about power, it's about domination, but at the end of the day, if I do a sequel to the movie and that sequel happens in the country that it's happening in at the very ending,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tackle other problems.
Yeah.
You know, the voice will tackle exactly the problems of the country that he's playing with.
Mm-hmm.
So in Senegal, there is that problem of colonialism and post-colonialism, and guess what? After 1 year after we did the movie, that's exactly what happened. In Senegal.
Yeah.
Right? So if I make the movie in the country if I make the sequel in the country that you see at the end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be other problems that I can tackle with.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the great things, Jean-Luc, is that
you
could drop this into any country right now. Any country, because everything that is happening in the world now, it's all about power, money, greed, domination. You know, money and greed, they all go together. Domination, bullying, warring. So this film is topical anywhere that you would set this right now. Anywhere. It's a scary thought. It's scary to think that, but that is what the world is that we're living in.
Yeah, and that's when somebody asked me the question, what's Zero? And I told them, well, Zero is a bomb. It movie itself is a bomb. It's like you think it's something, but when it's going to explode, it gives you another meaning of what we're living right now.
Yeah, and it can explode in many different fashions, too.
Yeah. Wow, you really got all my themes. I was like, I'm going to try to hide a lot of layers, but you're definitely going there. Thank you for that. Nobody gave me all those details and all those layers that I was hiding there. So thank you for seeing that. I'm very, very happy.
I love all these details and the things that are maybe not that obvious if you're just taking a glance at it. You're flipping channels on the TV and you stop on something. You might not see all of this detail, but when you sit down and you watch it, you cannot avoid the details. The detail, the devil is in the details here. Such as when we see Man 1 and Man 2, it's like, hey, we got bombs strapped across this. We got to get out of these. Got to get out of these. And they join forces, more or less, to try and figure out how to get out of the bombs. Their bomb vests. So you see money and domination, money and violence teaming up, trying to come up with their own answer to something that clearly it's going to be resolved by another method. It's not going to be them joining forces that's going to solve the problem or the problems. Yeah, and I love seeing that they think that they can outwit whatever, the universe, God, that money will take care of it, money will buy us freedom, money will get rid of a bomb, money will stop something. You have to laugh at it in one respect, that they are that naive or that egomaniacal that they think that they can make it all go away with wiring some money to somebody. So I love that you have all of that there. And then you give us this incredible ram. I can't remember last time, I've seen a film with walking along with a beautiful looking ram and he has somebody's hand in his mouth.
Well, you know what? That came from Gary. That came from the actor.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how we did that, but he improvised that. That was not in my script. Like, I asked, a funny thing happened. I asked, because I've been living in Senegal. When I was doing this movie, I've been living in Senegal for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew a bit what was interesting about Dakar and all that. So I said to the team, like, I want a ram. I want the biggest ram that you have. But please, I don't want a ram with horns. Of course, what they brought me was the biggest ram with the biggest horse.
Of course.
Like, oh my God, because I knew what would happen. And it happened. Like, that ram attacked the actors like 3 or 4 times, and I'm not joking.
Oh my God.
Then it was Gary who found the idea of putting his finger in his mouth, and that thing was not moving anymore. And he put it that in the scenes. He said that to one the character. He said, like, yeah, put your finger like this and your head like that, and it's going to be great.
You know,
and I was laughing my ass out.
It's hilarious watching it, but kind of like, you know, giving a baby a pacifier.
Exactly. That's exactly that.
So,
exactly that.
But it's so
I'm going to give you a very interesting story. I'm going to try to be fast on that.
Oh, tell me. Tell me.
I was saying cut. That ram was like running away. And then we discovered that when I stopped saying cut, everything is all right. And you know why? Because, so it's, I say cut to you in English, but in French it's coupé, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically in Senegal, when they say coupé, uh-huh. It's when they cut the ram's throat.
Oh!
Right?
Oh!
So the ram knew every time that I was saying coupé, cut, he thought that we were about to kill him.
Oh,
so he
my
was
God.
Running away. That was so interesting and so
wow.
Sad.
And it is very sad, but
little stories. Yeah.
But that fits in with the themes that you have in this film.
Exactly.
It fits right in there. I'm curious, you have, how many locations did you have in this within Senegal? Or did you try and keep it concentrated in one area? Because the cinematography, Gregory's cinematography is so beautiful in showcasing the locations. And then you throw in those gorgeous drone shots that you use as your transitions with the graphics. But the cinematography and the locations. And I kept thinking, are they just turning the camera around? But everything was moving so fast that I figured, no, they've got all different locations.
Again, thank you for that, because that's part of the filmmaking process. Youth is representing, so who sees number one is representing money, and and the second one, so two, is representing violence.
Right.
If you live in Dakar, but in most African cities, there's that fight between the economical growth and the traditional life. And I wanted to show both of those two sides in Dakar. So if you watch carefully, when you are with number one, you're always in the very sandy, traditional Dakar.
Mm-hmm.
When you are with the other one, you're in the city area, like restaurants, and very urban and very economical. And it was very interesting to mix the two in the different environment that they don't master. Because if I put it, the economical guy in the city, that would have been more easy for him.
Yeah, you expect that.
For the other one, right? So I inverted those two and put them in the environment that they don't master.
Nice.
You know, and then putting them both together, then I brought them to Medina, which is like the oldest, like they say in the movie, the oldest hood in Dakar.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Daniel is. And that's the place where it's supposed to be and peaceful, and traditional, and violent, and also economical, you know? And the entire movie works this way. If you watch carefully the direction of the movie, when we are with youth, it's handheld camera, so the first one. When we are with the second one, it's like steady shots, you know? And when they are the two together, it's a steady cam. So everything was, there was a meaning for everything in this movie. And that's the trap of this movie, which is like, it looks simple, it looks like an action movie, but...
Ah, no, think again.
You've got to find other stuff in that. Thank you very much for this, because I never had this question, or even when I was watching that with audience, they never asked me that, or they never saw that. So you're the first one.
Oh.
So thank you.
I love breaking the film down, and cinematography is such a big part of the storytelling. A big part.
Exactly. Comes end to end. Yeah.
And the color, your color correction on here is outstanding, Jean-Luc.
Yeah, it was my main goal to not go into the usual, that we're in Africa or in India or whatever, there's always that yellow-orange color.
Yeah.
Because we are in a country that is so hot or whatever. And here it was more about, oh, again, like we said in the beginning, it's death against life, right? And if you watch the ending, when we are in the different country, the light is changing.
That's yes, very much so.
You know,
very much so. But I love the texture. The texture of the light shooting in Senegal. A lot of people don't realize as you get to different meridian lines within the earth and the globe, you have different texture within the sunlight and the air itself. I love films that are shot and capture that in South Africa, in Senegal. It's a beautiful, beautiful light, and it's not as diffused as what we see in most of the United States, things like above the equator, north of the equator. So, and I love that Gregory captures all of that, and then with the use of color, it just is so enhanced and rich. I love that.
We had a lot of discussion about that. We had a lot of discussion. And especially if you watch carefully in Dakar, it's weird enough, especially in Dakar because it's very polluted,
you don't have
clouds. Like it's all white, or it's all, of course we work on the color grading for it to not be boring.
Right.
But you don't have clouds like the way you would have them in, for example, I live in London now.
Mm-hmm.
In London, there's a lot of clouds and the sky can be very blue and all that. You don't have that in Dakar. You have the sun, and then the sky is like all white or blue, but there's no clouds.
No clouds.
What was interesting. God in the sky and that omnipotent guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that you don't see anything in the sky.
Yeah.
Because there's just one thing, which is God, right?
Yeah.
God watching them. So the interesting part, to finish on the drone stuff, the drone shot that we were talking about, there's also that tilt effect on the shot that makes you feel like you're watching, how do you say that in English, mouses? You know, mouses, like people are basically toys to him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
When you're watching these shots, you can feel like there's a scale effect to it that makes everything look...
They're like little, like either... Yeah. Ants or little mice running through a maze or
yeah,
little
exactly.
chess pieces
exactly.
or little Lego exactly. pieces that every once in a while he wants to step his foot on and get mad and do something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's kidding somebody just because he's mad. He's like, this thing, I don't like it.
Yeah, let's put a bomb on that person. Why not? Because so much of this is very quickly, it's very fast-paced. Very fast-paced.
Yeah.
How challenging was the editing process and working with Raphael on this because of the rapidity, the rapid pace that we have, but also those few moments where you let us breathe a little and make us think? This could not have been easy to balance.
That's a very interesting question. I think that's becoming my... You know, as a director, you at least that's my thing. Like, I don't want to think about my style. I don't want to think about what's my thing. But what it's looking like after making 3-4 movies, it's like, yeah, I have something with pace, which is all my movies has that fast pace. Not that I want it, but it's there, you know. And then Zero, what was interesting for me was breaking time all the time. Meaning, like, when you think we're going to go faster, we're going to stop time. When you think we're going to stop time, I'm going to go faster. And it was that idea of, I don't want you as an audience to think that you have the keys to what you're watching. So, for example, when there is that scene, which is one of my favorite scenes, when you have the car scene in Los Angeles, you know, like you, it's just one shot. It's not cutting. When you have the car entering in the frame and doing, you have those guys having a fight and blah, blah, blah. And then you have the characters coming and fighting them and killing them and blah, blah, blah. And that shot lasts like 3-4 minutes and it's not cutting.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to fuck with the audience and say, oh, you think we're going to be in that kind of movie, which is like Crank or all kind of movies where it's just never stopping because they want to have your attention by never stopping. I was like, no, let's play a bit. You know, and there's a lot of moments like that when they are going to take the ram, for example. Both of the characters are waiting for something to happen, and I don't cut. And you can see that they're getting bored. And they're like, what the fuck is going to happen? And that's the same for the audience. And then there is the ramp coming, and you're like, oh, my fucking God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the entire movie was also made up this way, which is, I want you to feel exactly like the voice made them feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not in control. And when you think you are in control, who's when he's in the car, so when he says, like, okay, so I thought we were here to blow something up again. Well, that's not what's going to happen. You know? So the movies, and I hope it's going to work for the majority of the audience, it's always playing with you. It's giving you what you think it's going to give you.
I mean, I love it. I think this is...
Thank you, Debbie.
You know, it's a weird movie. Weird good.
That's what we wanted, yeah.
It's weird good. With the way that you play with everything, with the contrast, with juxtapositions, with the unexpected, and with that underlying meaning of Zero, Endless Circle.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
I love it. I love it, Jean-Luc. And this has been so wonderful getting to speak with you about it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, we have to thank Braden for that.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I hope we get to chat again in the future.
Right, like that, I will be very happy.
Well, get to work and make...
Thank you, and that's true.
Make another film. Make another film for me.
Pray for me for that. It has to work.
I will. Oh, Jean-Luc. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Debbie. Thank you.